You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
You join us on the start of a brand new series called The Big Questions of Life. Everybody say, ooh, sounds mysterious, doesn't it? I'm going to take the mystery out for you. We got 3 weeks. Today, we're preaching on what's the point. Next week, I think we're preaching on who am I? And then the third week is, will everything be okay? So some big life questions, which is going to be fantastic, going to be a great series. And our challenge last week was to stick around for 3 weeks in a row, be a part of the series. We're going to go on a journey uncovering and talking about some of the big questions of life. Sound good? Yeah. If you're taking notes, you can title the message, "What's the Point?" Turn to your neighbor and say, "What's the point? What's the point?" A couple of years ago, Lisandra and I went on a trip to Paris. To Paris, oh la la, je pense que je mal à la tête, je voudrais le croissant, s'il vous plaît, un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, six. I'm practically fluent in French, practically fluent. And I got to practice my GCSE French in Paris. I got to order a croissant and say thank you for it and receive my change back. And it was a beautiful moment that 5 years of GCSE French was used for that moment. We'll say less about that. But we're in Paris and hey, it was a great trip, but I have a bit of a condition, let's say. I always end up buying the wrong tickets to things, buying the expensive tickets to the wrong places. And I think this trip, I cost us about 100 euros worth of wrong tickets on the wrong trains, going to the wrong places. So I've been banned from being the logistics guy on holidays. But we were staying by Disney in Paris, and there's a little beautiful picturesque town nearby. It was autumn. The leaves have fallen. It's not quite too cold. It's not quite rainy. It's that beautiful color that's vibrant. We're walking to this beautiful French town for our shopping where we could cook at home in the place we were staying. And we get loads of stuff, and they pack it in these great big paper bags, giant paper bags with all of this stuff that we're bringing home. And I kid you not, as soon as we walk out of the grocery store, it's like the rain descended. We didn't have an umbrella, and we were walking about 15 minutes back to the hotel, our arms filled with our stuff in these paper bags. Now, over the next 5 minutes, the rain's descending, the bags start to disintegrate a little bit, let's say. And I'm praying in my spirit. I'm praying, Lord, these bags will not decay in Jesus' name. I'm declaring, I'm speaking it out, believing in faith. And we get to near the reception where a security guy was, and it was literally like the movies. As he looks at us, we look at him, and our stuff falls out of the bottom of these wet paper bags. I look at the stuff on the floor. I look at the guard, I look at Lisandre, and I think to myself, what is the point in these paper bags? What is the point? Are we really saving the planet? I don't know. Start to spiral. What is the point of these paper bags? This terrible moment as he gives us some plastic bags that are fit for purpose and we carry them back to the hotel. But asking myself in this moment, what is the point? Many of you have had a lot of those what's the point moments in your life, I bet. I bet you've gone to the gym for a month, looked in the mirror and it doesn't look like much has changed. And you ask yourself, what is the point? You go on a diet perhaps and you're sacrificing and you're not eating the nice food. You're eating all the nasty green food that we call vegetables. No chocolate, no ice cream, no good stuff. You look in the mirror and you ask yourself, what is the point? Maybe young person. You're texting that girl. She's not texting you back. You ask yourself, Dan Garrett, what is the point? Oh, we've all had these moments, haven't we? What is the point? And I think for humanity, we ask ourselves this question on more of an existential basis. Sometimes we ask ourselves, what is the point of life? What is my purpose? What is this all about? Let me give you some surveys and stats right now. From Aaron McClung, he says this, one survey shows that only 10% of people would say that they know what their life purpose is, and only 5% say they are following that purpose on a regular basis. The YouGov study of 2021 says this, the YouGov death study shows that 6 in 10 of Britons think that life has a meaning, but a quarter says it does not, and a quarter simply don't know. I think society at large is at risk of simply existing and not living. Waking up from one day to the next, asking ourselves, is this really it? Waiting for the holiday, existing for the sunshine of Spain, feeling like we were maybe just an accident, we just ended up here by mere coincidence, going through the motions of one job to the next, trying to find purpose and life through the career path, and never quite feeling like we're living in our purpose. And so the danger for us today is that when life is absent of purpose, it can feel void of meaning. And the danger is without us understanding the point of life, we're simply just going to exist and coast through life. But I want to suggest today, we've got to know our purpose. We've got to know our purpose as people of God, children of God, that we were created on purpose, in purpose, with purpose, and for purpose. That we're not just created simply to exist and coast through life, but each one of us have a purpose. And we need not just any purpose today, we need God's purpose for our lives. University College London says this, his research indicates that having a strong sense of purpose in life is associated with a reduced risk of all-cause mortality, even after adjusting for factors like age, sex, education, and race. Isn't that cool that on a physiological level alone, you take the God factor out of it, just having some sense of purpose and direction and point in life will actually cause you to live longer. Can you imagine the kind of impact we could all make today if we weren't just living to extend our life here on earth, but we were living for an eternity of tomorrow that's to come that shaped our today? And so when we ask ourselves the point of life, we can all know we are made to matter. I want to tell you today, if you take nothing else from this message, you were made to matter. There's 4 things I want to suggest today to give you about the point of your life. Are you ready? You're created on purpose. On purpose. The Bible says this in Psalms 139, verses 13 to 14. For you, this is God, created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Today, church, you were fashioned, created with intent, on purpose. You're not just a mere fluke, a mere coincidence, a mere byproduct of cosmic chance. The Bible says God has knit you together, fashioned you together before the beginning of time. He thought of you and he created you on purpose with destiny. You're not just the byproduct of macroevolution and your parents making certain choices that meant certain choices that meant you were born on this day, that married this person, that gave birth to this person. You're not just created by chance. You're created on purpose. Charles Darwin, the father of evolution, who coined the theory of microevolution, the change in variations within species. But when you think evolution, you think the change in kinds, that we go from fish to reptile to mammal. Charles Darwin said this about the whole evolutionary theory. He said, to suppose the eye, with all its imitable contrivances, could have been formed by natural selection, I confess absurd in the highest degree. The father of evolution understood that the theory of evolution could not account for the complexity of an intelligent designer that created us. Oh, you aren't just a byproduct of a Big Bang, millions of years. There's a lot of conversation to be had about Genesis 1, if it's poetic or it's literal. We don't have time for that today, although I'd love to have the conversation. But I'm here to tell you, you're created on purpose, fearfully, wonderfully made, beautiful in the Father's eyes, created with purpose, on purpose, for purpose. He stitched you together, created you, wove your life together. All of the areas of life that seem to make no sense, God is stitching together to create a beautiful tapestry of your life because He is a God that creates things on purpose. You're created on purpose. And when you know you're created on purpose, you can understand that you were made to matter. You're not just chance, you're made to matter. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." And so the first point of your life today is that you were created on purpose. Everybody say on purpose. On purpose. And that you were made to matter. The second thing about the point of your life is when you understand you're created on purpose, you can realize you were created in purpose. The Bible says this. We pick up a story in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. The author is Luke, who's writing a historical account. He writes the book of Luke in the Gospels and the book of Acts, a historical account of the birth of the church. And so we pick up this account of a guy called Saul, a different Saul to the one I was talking about earlier. Says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." Everybody say, "Ooh, bad guy." "He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way," that's us Christians, early Christians were called followers of the way, "any of us who belong to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem." Wow, this is Saul's purpose he's living in for his life right now. He's living in the purpose of arresting the Lord's people and putting them in jail. He's got a purpose, just not God's purpose. Verse 3, "As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" This is a new purpose coming for Saul. "The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but could not see anyone." So I need you to catch this. Saul has got a purpose right now, but then he meets Jesus, and he's got a brand new normal taking place in his life. Verses 19 to 21. "Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus." Everybody say yes. Yes. Come on, say yes. This is our guy right now. "At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God." Now he's living in God's purpose for his life. "All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't that the bloke at the pub that was trying to arrest me?'" That's not what it says. That's the Lee Brown version. "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among all of those who call on his name?" Now catch this, the purpose of his life completely changes because Jesus is at the center of his world. He now has a transformed purpose in Jesus. He has a purpose already, just not God's purpose for his life. But then he meets Jesus on the way of what was an ordinary day for Saul, meets Jesus, and his purpose suddenly goes from living in his own purposes and now into God's purposes for his life. He literally goes from arresting to attesting a 360 degree transformation of his life's purpose. Now catch this, this is where it gets really cool. He gets a new name. Many people would like a new name. Oh, ouch. He gets a new name and he goes from being called Saul to being called Paul. Jesus literally has renamed him and renamed the purpose of his life. You went from arresting the Lord's people to attesting the Lord's glory. You went from being against the church to being for the church, a brand new revelation of living in purpose. Ephesians 2:10, we just read it. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. He understands that on purpose and in purpose are inextricably linked. God's handiwork, created on purpose in the image of God, to put their hands to work and do good works. And so for some of you today, you understand, you get it that you're created on purpose. You've had an encounter with Jesus. Your life is God's. You know God created you. You understand that God created you on purpose. But you're struggling to live and feel like you're living in purpose. Maybe you resonate with the studies at the start. You feel a sense of, I don't really know if I'm living in God's purposes for my life. I want to encourage you this morning to rename your purpose. In the same way Saul was renamed from Saul to Paul, some of us today have got to rename our purpose. Not every day for Paul was exciting, exhilarating, magnificent, awesome. A lot of days were ordinary, and a lot of days were boring. Let me show you. The book of Acts says this. In chapter 18, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed there and worked with them. That might just be there with one of the most boring Bible passages we read. Paul woke up and went to work. That's really what we're getting from that word of God right there. Paul was a tent maker. He was doing his craft. He was working the field. He wasn't preaching every day in the synagogue. Not every day was filled with miracles and the extraordinary. A lot of his days were boring and ordinary, but because Jesus renamed him from Saul to Paul, he understands that he's got a new purpose. And so for us today, we've just got to simply rename our purpose. And understand that boring is just as meaningful as breathtaking. Your marking homework tonight is just as meaningful as the moments you lead worship on platform on a Sunday. Your sending out tenders for jobs is just as meaningful as it is coming and worshiping in the house of God. Why? Because you're living in your created purpose. So tomorrow morning when you wake up and you might feel like it's a little bit boring going back to school, it's a little bit boring in work, it's a little bit boring in the office, I want you to know that your boring is meaningful just as much as the breathtaking, because you're living in your created purpose. Because we serve the man and the man's got a plan, and we might not understand the plan, but because we serve the man, we're content with his plan. You're created on purpose and you're created in purpose. You were made to matter. You with me? The third thing about the point of your life is this: you were created on purpose, you were created in purpose, and you've been created with purpose. Everybody say with purpose. With purpose. The Bible says this in Romans 12. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, God's pleasing and perfect will. Let me tell you about some cool people. Thomas Edison, when he was younger, he was told this. He was told he was dull and he struggled in school. His teacher even said to him, he was too stupid to learn anything. Wow. Walt Disney, fired from a newspaper for lacking creativity. And he was told his ideas were too far-fetched. Oprah grew up in poverty and faced abuse. She was told by a TV exec early in her career that she was unfit for television. Oh my goodness, the stories that you tell yourself in your mind, in your thinking, and in your thought life are powerful. It's a good job these guys and girls didn't conform to the stories of the world, didn't conform to the way of the world, but decided to change their thinking, change the story, live with purpose, and then this is what happened with their lives. Edison went on to become one of history's greatest inventors, holding over 1,000 patents, including the invention of the light bulb. But he was told he was too stupid to learn anything. Walt Disney went on to create the Disney Empire. Any Disney fans in the house today? Which includes iconic films, theme parks, and some of the world's most beloved characters. But he was told his ideas were too far-fetched. Oprah turned her self-doubt into determination, and she eventually became a global media mogul, creating one of the most successful talk shows in history and becoming an icon of self-empowerment. Proverbs says this in 23 verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." Great philosopher Descartes says this, says cog ito ergo sum, translated as I think, therefore I am. The stories you tell yourself are powerful. And embracing the point of life, what's the point of life? It all starts with a thought. Transform thinking that doesn't conform to society's story about you. Transform thinking that changes the narrative and says, I am chosen, called, anointed, appointed. I am in the right place at the right time. My family is good. It is highly favored. I am prosperous. I am loved. I am a child of God. But how do we do that? We know these verses. How do we apply them? How do we truly change our thought life? One verse says this. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, everybody say captive, every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You can experience God's purposes for your life, living with purpose, when you start to capture and arrest those thoughts that say you've got no purpose, you're not living in your purpose, you just ended up here by accident. You arrest those thoughts, you make it obedient to Christ. What does that mean? That means the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about me? It says, I'm created on purpose, in purpose, with purpose. And finally, the last thing, is I am created for purpose. I am created for purpose. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus speaking says, I have come that they, you, might have life and life to the full. This is the great God life that we've been created for, the God adventure. We've been saying a lot this year about the spirit of adventure. Because when you walk your life with Jesus, everything's a great big adventure. Because he's at the helm of your life, steering the ship. And we get to experience a life and life to the full. But for purpose, the Bible says in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, it says, therefore go. This is the last thing pretty much Jesus says to his disciples before he ascends to heaven. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Baptism Sunday is coming up in a couple of weeks. Book yourselves in, going to be awesome. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, this is great news, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. There's a greater point than my world. There's a greater point than my empire. There's a greater point than my house. There's a greater point than my family. There's a greater point than my job. All of that stuff's good. But there's a greater point to life, and that's serving a vision that doesn't die with me, but is everlasting. The Bible says in Daniel, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, enduring from generation to generation. I love that when the natural order of life ceases to exist, when I die, I get to go and be with God in eternity. And so on earth, I'm created for purpose in the short span of life. James talks about in chapter 5, verse 14, this life is like a mist, a vapor, vanishes quickly. So on this little journey of life that I get to exist for a purpose that is greater than my own. I get to exist to build God's kingdom. And you get to exist to build God's kingdom in your workplace, in the marketplace, in your family, in your friendship groups, in your school, in your universities. We all get to play our part in building God's kingdom, loving our neighbors, reaching the lost, wherever we are. But if you're going to understand you're created for purpose, for this great commission the Bible talks about, then you've got to have a revelation that you were created on purpose, in purpose, with purpose, and then you can catapult into your for purpose. Doesn't matter what stage of life you're in right now, whether you're in education, you're in careers, you're retired, all of us has a purpose that is to exist beyond ourselves. And only time will tell the stories of the legacy that we leave. But what's the point to life? The point is this: you were made to matter. You were made to matter. So when the thought life starts to wind down, when you wake up tomorrow morning and the atmosphere of Sunday wears off, I want you to know you were made to matter. You've been created on purpose, in purpose, with purpose, and for purpose. But St. Augustine says this. He says, "You have made us for yourself," talking about God. "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you." So really, none of that matters unless you start with a relationship with God and understand you were created for a relationship with Him, because that is the relentless pursuit of man. The beauty of life, that we get to know God, that we get to know this Creator who designed us, who thought of us, who sent His Son, we talked about last week, on a cross, that when He was paying the price for the sins and the hang-ups and the mess-ups of humanity, He thought of you. And so your heart will forever be restless until you find rest in Him. Now, to Christians in the room, what does that look like? That looks like starting your day by thanking God, finding a point in your day to read the Word and be with Him. Spend time to pray as a family, to invite Him into the very fabric of your life. And out of that will flow your with purpose and into your for purpose. This isn't a career, ambitious, motivating kind of preach to climb the corporate ladder, far from it. At the essence is to know you're made to matter. I know you're created to know God. Gosh, He loves us. We sung about how great He was earlier. His love for us is everlasting. It doesn't matter how many times we mess up. Miles, it doesn't matter how many times you mess up. It doesn't matter how many times, Jimmy, you mess up. Danny, it doesn't matter how many times. Hey, His grace, His love, man. I'm made to matter. If God sees me like that, then I think He's worth a little bit of my time to get to know this God who loves us. The point of life, you are made to matter, to know God.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.